You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I welcome Svetlana Lakova, the author, the historian, author of two books most recently, The Spy Who Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets, and Spygate Exposed, which is the story of Svetlana's entanglement with the story that's generally understood as Russiagate that is unfinished. When last Svetlana and I spoke, we were in August of 2016, going through the facts as we know them now about the establishment of the FBI inquiry called Crossfire Hurricane into the allegation that the Trump campaign, 2016, was compromised by Russian security. In fact, that Trump himself, the candidate, was a stooge of Vladimir Putin. It went that far in 2016. We left off with the weekend of the 11th and 12th in August when the FBI is dealing with information they have from a confidential source. His name is Stephen Halper. The information points to compromise of the Trump campaign and compromise in a fashion that will eventually involve Svetlana. We leave off from middle of August. Crossfire Hurricane is established. Crossfire Razor, which is the subset of the larger investigation, is into the security of Michael Flynn, a major member of the campaign in August of 2016, a man who will eventually be named National Security Advisor in the early weeks of the Trump administration. However, the investigation launched in August was into the question, was Mike Flynn compromised by Russian security? We're now past the election. Mr. Trump has been elected to the surprise of everyone, including those who have constructed Russiagate. It's a long list. I'm not going to go through the list. I'm going to go to an article in the Financial Times that appears December 16th, 2016. This is why I need Svetlana's help, because at this moment, Svetlana is an historian and student at Cambridge University working on the book that I've already announced, The Spy Who Changed History. She is surprised to hear that she has attended a seminar at Cambridge that is now said to be, on the front page of the Financial Times, said to be compromised by Russian security. Svetlana, good evening to you. I've rushed past this to get to your surprise on December 16, 2016. You're in Great Britain, you're a British citizen, and you read on the Financial Times statements that are quite extraordinary involving people you know in person. One of them is Stephen Halper, who has attended events at Cambridge for many years, was an adjunct professor at Cambridge, and participated in an intelligence seminar that you were now and again attending. Another is Christopher Andrew, a distinguished professor at Cambridge University and your thesis advisor. Another is Sir Richard Dearlove, the former head of MI6, the very famous Secret Intelligence Service, and former master of Pembroke College. You know all these people very well. Stephen Halper is not a friend, but you know who he is. And Christopher Andrew is your mentor. And Sir Richard Dearlove is an esteemed senior figure in British intelligence, one of the great minds of the 20th and now 21st century for intelligence matters. you're surprised at the new at the article, because there are suspicions that in some fashion, Cambridge has been penetrated by Russian security, as it was with the Cambridge Five in the 1930s, the very famous case of Philby and Burgess, etc. What do you do that day when you see that article? Good evening to you, Svetlana.
Good evening, John. Well, yes, that was a surprise, because having attended the seminar for on and off over decades, in fact, I first, attended it as an undergraduate. I never knew that, you know, the seminar, which is an open seminar which discusses history matters. I didn't know that it would be penetrated by anyone, and let alone some kind of intelligence apparatus. So to give an example, the topics I was working on would be, you know, from 1930s. So clearly the seminar would not be of interest to any intelligence service. To have, as you point out, my colleagues or senior colleagues appear on the front pages was very, very surprising. And then the next thing that happens is the media storm, which is that we're all being contacted asking questions. So what happens to me is I get contacted by the senior reporter for chief reporter, as it's called, for the Times of London, which is a newspaper of record, to discuss the story. And to my shock, I somehow am being described as the spy in question. So the person who penetrated our seminar as part of some kind of Kremlin operation, apparently, is me.
Yes, you learn several days after this article appears that you're the one who is working for the Kremlin. You learn this from a Times reporter in London who conveys this to you because he has information that hasn't been published at the time. Now, in those 3 days, important details we're establishing here. We don't have the end of the story yet. We're still turning over clues and looking down passageways that are not well lit. One of the things that happens is that you fall into conversation with Christopher Andrew, your mentor and thesis advisor at Cambridge, the day of the article appearing or the day after. This is a weekend. What do you learn from Christopher Andrew, Professor Andrew, and what does he convey to you about the article?
Well, so he says to me that, you know, he's, in fact, he's on the record in the article to say that the allegations are absurd. In the conversation, the email conversation with me, he's telling me how upset and disappointed he is and how unwell this whole thing made him. And whilst the whole situation is, you know, jokes, not true, it's absurd, but at the same time, he, Christopher Andrew, contacted Stefan Halper. And Stefan Halper is the man who is on the record in the article to get him either to withdraw the false allegation that there's this penetration or of the seminar by the Kremlin, or if he wasn't the one who gave the quote, if there's some kind of misunderstanding, to clarify that he wasn't involved in this article. And in particular, Stefan Halper is on the record to say he resigned from the seminar in December 2016 as a result of this Kremlin operation. He doesn't want to be associated anymore, according to the newspaper. But Christopher Andrew puts it on the email with Stefan Halper that, in fact, Stefan Halper retired from the seminar, very happily retired, 6 months earlier. And said how much, in writing, how much he enjoyed working with the Intelligence Seminar of Cambridge and how he looks forward to working with them in the future, which is hardly any indication of any concerns about any penetration and by Kremlin or anyone else. And then Christopher Andrew tells me that he hasn't heard back from Stefan Halper despite his emails to him.
Let me see if I have this. You communicate to him this article. He calls you up. You tell, this is a telephone call or an email?
Well, so originally it's a telephone call, which is a long, so it's a Saturday and, it's very early in the morning that I find out about it. So I send it over to him, along the lines of, you know, have you seen this? And he responds to me with some sort of shock and horror reaction. And we also have a telephone conversation about that.
All right. You have a telephone call with Christopher Andrew, and he conveyed to you his, he's anxious about this article because it's, has false information and he wants that corrected. Is that when you learn that Halper has not responded to him, or does, is that later?
That's late. And then, so Andrew follows it up with an email to Stefan Halper, and he, Christopher Andrew, sends me, the email that he sent to Stefan Halper. This is on, December 17th, that's right. So the next day.
The next day.
Dear Steph, Steph is short, obviously, for Stefan. I'm somewhat shocked by the comments attributed to you in today's FT. I can well imagine that you've been misquoted, but do need to know as a matter of urgency what you actually told the FT. When you resigned as seminar convener that was part of the retirement, you emailed me. I wanted to write to say that I can no longer be a co-convener of the intelligence seminar. This is in July. It has been most enjoyable this past several years, and I wish you continued success. I look forward to seeing you next time I am in Cambridge, nothing else. So that was in relation to Stefan Halper retiring from the university and going back to America. So he said that he wants to see the seminar next time and work with it in the future. Then he said, grateful for your earliest response to this email. And then he tells me separately that he has not had any response from Stefan Halper.
Okay, so that's on the 16th and the 17th. You at this point have comforted your mentor in some fashion, saying there's nothing to it, or it's quite odd and strange, and there are a lot of details here that I'm not going to pursue, because what's important is what happens on the 19th during the course of the week. That would be on Tuesday. On Tuesday, you receive a call from the Times of London reporter, and he's the one who tells you that the penetration of the seminar was done by Svetlana Lakova, yourself, and that he is calling you to learn, what does he want from you, Svetlana? What questions does he ask that day?
Well, basically, am I the spy? Obviously, the answer to that is no. And the second answer to this is I'm not going to continue this conversation, and I hang up, and I call my lawyers at that point.
Did he record the conversation, to your knowledge?
I don't know.
Did he tell you he was recording?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember him telling me that, no.
You did not record the conversation.
I didn't know that the conversation, so it was presented to me as he had been given my contact by a colleague of his with whom I previously worked, you know, whilst I was working on the intelligence files from 1930s. I've done a lot of work with the Times of London. So he says, I got this email from from my colleague at the Times. And he just wanted to discuss with me this latest newspaper article involving, you know, Christopher Andrew, right? So he didn't tell me in the email that this was about me.
Right.
Which is the only reason why I've spoken to him. And when on the phone he said that the conversation was actually about me, an allegation of me being a Russian spy who penetrated Cambridge on orders of Kremlin, I said that I'm not obviously, it's not true, and also I'm not continuing this conversation.
Did you communicate that phone call to Christopher Andrew, your mentor?
Yes.
And did he respond in some unusual fashion, or was he comforting? I mean, this is an opportunity for him to comfort you, as you had comforted him 3 days before. Do you remember what he said?
Well, it was along the lines of, oh, you know, this is all just this media nonsense, just ignore it. And I was led to believe that there was some sort of infighting within Cambridge Academia. And it's nothing to do with me. And it's all to do with the fact that him and Halper and others basically fell out. And because I was known as Christopher Andrew Protégé, that somehow kind of backfired on me, but not to worry, basically. So
not to worry. Yes, of course.
Not
that's
to
why,
worry. This
that's
is
why
absurd.
5 years later we're talking about it. All right. One more. Sir Richard Dearlove, was he involved in Christopher Andrew's remarks in some fashion? Did Professor Andrew mention Mr. Dearlove?
Not on the phone, but in the email that he sent to Steph Halper, you know, asking him to withdraw the comments about resignation. So Dearlove is not on the record in the article.
Right.
But in the email to Steph, he said that, you know, they had some conversations about in July, you know, this is 6 months earlier, about how to best restructure the various business and academic things they had. But that there were never any concerns by Richard. So this is in an email to Stefan Halper that Richard Dearlove never had any concerns about any penetration of the seminar by the Kremlin.
All right. It's now the 19th of December. You're told by your attorney no longer to comment, no longer to take phone calls from the media, and you're busy. You're about to give birth. You're very busy. So we're going to leave it there with Svetlana Lukova, the author of the book she was writing, thanks to Christopher Andrew's mentorship, The Spy Who Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets. She's also the author, most recently, of Spygate Exposed, which is the big picture of what we're following in detail right now. December 16th, Financial Times, front page. December 19th, call from the Times of London. These are two distinguished journalism institutions in Britain. You don't get any bigger than this. And Svetlana learns that she works for Vladimir Putin and Russian state security and has penetrated a seminar at Cambridge University. In other words, she's just been told she's been promoted to Philby status. This is John Batchelor, the Friends of History Debating Society.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.